Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace this change that is taking place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Hi, Dee. You're late.
Hi, Tom. You're late, too.
We'll get into why in just a moment. Let's not jump into prattle too quickly. This is Catholic Vitamins. 6.5 years and more.
Episode 304.
And the show is a little bit... Go ahead.
Catholic Vitamin T for task.
Tasks.
Task. Plural. Task. T-A-S-K, plural. Right?
Tasks. Yes, I'm not hearing you say the S.
Tasks. I'm sorry. I'm spitting on you now.
Oh, my heavens. Dear folks, you could turn to another station and get
yes, you could.
Better treatment than this. Well, at any rate, this is Catholic Vitamins. And I started to say before Dee introduced the show vitamin name that this is a little bit of an unusual show. It's going to be a mature audience only show. If you are riding in your car with young ones, or if you're in some situation where they would be listening, this would not be a show to share with young ears. And we'll get into why that is just before and as we get into the interview. We don't normally tackle really, really tough subjects on this show, but we have a reason to enter into the mature zone on this episode. Dee, why are we late?
Well, Saturday, we usually broadcast or usually podcast on Saturday, and I was down in the valley all day. I went down for our granddaughter's dance performances, which was really nice. I'm glad I was there. I came back that night, and you didn't have a voice.
Well, the day before, I had had surgery on my jaw to remove an implant that had failed, and then to open up a new space
for a new implant.
Mm-hmm. And the combination of that had me on some heavy drugs, and I think maybe my stomach was upset, and I had some GERD, some reflux problems, which are still messing me up a little bit even now.
It affects your vocal cords.
Sure does, and mine were impaired to begin with. So excuse what sounds like a distorted voice. Yeah. I'm an alien from...
So Sunday, we couldn't podcast because you just didn't have a voice back yet. And then I don't know what happened Monday. We were just very busy Monday.
Yep.
So this is Tuesday now. Very, very beautiful Tuesday.
Speaking of beauty, last time we podcast, we were talking about a front moving in and getting cold. And today you were out hiking and the sun is shining.
I went hiking in just a long sleeve t-shirt. I didn't even need a jacket or anything. It was so gorgeous outside. I had fun.
Well, good, good. What has been happening with Tom and Dee? I've already talked about the mouth surgery. What else?
We did the granddaughter's performance.
What did they do? Did they have...
This was mostly all ballet.
Oh.
Yeah.
And they had, what, different costumes?
Oh my gosh. The costumes are just fantastic, gorgeous. Yeah, and so Ellery's, what, 11? I think she's 11 or 12. So she had a couple parts, a couple different scenes she was in. And then Libby, the older one, was in more scenes than her younger sister. But she has been dancing a lot longer, and she's very, very, very talented.
Wow. We're very proud grandparents, and I wouldn't be surprised if Libby will someday be on a stage someplace really doing professional dancing. We heard from Margot B. Smith. Do you remember a while back she notified us that she had produced a new album of children's music that she had written? So she sent a note. Thank you for helping to spread the word about the new Jesus I Love You CD. May God bless you for all that you do in serving him, Deacon Tom and Dee. Love in Christ, Margot.
And I did put, at the time, I did put something on our Facebook page, Friends of Catholic Vitamins Facebook page. So if you go there, you can scroll down and find that blurb about her new CD.
We'll play, as soon as we take our first break, which is coming up here pretty soon, we'll play a little bit of one of her pieces. It's so delightful. And we're going to offer a free CD to a listener. And we're going to offer one on our Catholic radio station. But the way to get in on this drawing for Margot B. Smith's new CD is to send an email to catholicvitamins@gmail.com and just say Margot B. CD, Margot B., her middle initial, CD, and we'll put our names and whatever into a basket.
You've already put some on the radio station, haven't you? I think I heard one.
I think we did. Yes, we did. So
just recently, just within hours, I think I heard something.
All right. Anything else to cover in our first segment?
No, we have some feedback, so we'll intersperse that here and there.
All right. We'll be back. That was some music from Margot B. Smith's new CD for children and families, Jesus, I Love You. And there's some very sing-alongable songs.
Yeah.
Jesus, I Love You. Jesus is My Friend. Thank You, Lord. God is Love. Kindness. You Are My God and King. So there's also some instrumental tracks on this, and you can download the lyrics by going to www.margotbsmith.com. And I hope that you will consider this. Maybe you could do this as a gift for your CCD program in your parish.
It'd be great. Or even a Christmas gift for some of the families you know, families with young children.
Sure. So we're supporting Margot B. Smith's new CD.
Didn't I make the comment that we have a young mother friend here in town who's got a lot of children? Right. And I remarked that I could just see the kids singing along to these songs in the car.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah.
What do you got there? I've got some feedback.
All right. Why don't you do that, please?
I've got a handwritten note here that came in from Jean Holman here in Arizona. Thank you very much for the Sarah Reinhart book, Word by Word. That was a prize she won on our 300th episode. I am savoring each entry. You did a great job, Deacon Tom. I guess she's referring to
the piece that I did about the name Mary. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I will share it with my Rosary group friends and my family. Thanks for all your work over the years to bring uplifting vitamin episodes on a regular basis. Your guests are all so talented and have so many gifts to share. Holding you in my prayers and remembering you as I pray the Hail Mary. And she put a smiley face. Love you, sister in Christ. Love your sister in Christ, Jean Holman.
Thank you for reading that, and thank you for your words, Jean. We appreciate so much when our listeners take the time to write or email. Some of them even text. Go ahead, Dee, what do you got?
We heard from Matthew Bullinger in Texas.
Oh.
Greetings, Deacon Tom. My guest for this week is Teams.
Oh, sorry.
My mind immediately went to Texas, but didn't think that would make a good Catholic vitamin. Also thought of taxes, but didn't know where you would go with that either, other than death and taxes. Hope all is well. Keep up the great podcast.
Well, thank you so much. Hope that you're able to stay with us. So, we're about ready to bring up our guest. As you heard at the beginning of the show, he's Everett Fritz, and we'll reintroduce him as we begin the interview. once again, this is a tough subject to tackle in a family-oriented, light Catholic podcast. I mean, the topics that we talk about are important to our faith walk. We hope most of the time they're inspiring and that the guests bring with them stories of faith and nourishing the faith. But today is how men and women, particularly men, but men and women struggle with temptation, particularly the temptations of the flesh. And so we'll be interviewing a new person to me, but who came highly recommended, and I contacted Everett, and he agreed to do the interview. So after a short break, we'll be back with our guest. Next up on Catholic Vitamins, I'm pleased to introduce our listeners to a subject and a person, a subject which is, quite frankly, a little hard for Catholic Vitamins to get into. We have, for 6.5 years, we've been serious about the faith. We've been evangelizing about the Catholic faith. But dear wife Dee and I have been sort of relaxed about the other portions of our program. And you know, we've had some good times with some of our guests, but we have a tough subject to cover today. And I want to remind our listeners, whether you're a mom or a dad, if you're listening in the car with some young ears around, you might want to do something to save this show for a little bit later, because we have some subjects to get into that may be inappropriate from very young ears without the guidance and help of parents. So our guest is Everett Fritz, and I have in my hand his new book, Freedom: Battle Strategies for Conquering Temptation. Everett, sorry for the long-winded introduction, but welcome to Catholic Vitamins.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. So, as I alluded in my opening words, what we cover today is something which I guess a lot of people don't like to hear talked about, and we don't hear a lot from the pulpits about it, although you're going to help us to understand in our interview time why this is a very important area for us to talk about. So, before we get into the book itself, let's ask about you and who you are before becoming a famous author.
I don't know how famous I am in youth ministry for close to the last decade. And discipleship and mentoring is really my passion and my goal. Really, this book came out of just a group of high school boys that I was mentoring in a small group Bible study, and the topics of chastity and sexual impurity, as you can imagine with high school hormonal boys, came up. And I was looking for a resource or a book or something to give to them to mentor them through the problems of pornography and masturbation, that was also Catholic in nature and introduced Christ to them. And I really couldn't find a book for young men that addressed the problem and actually gave them practical steps in the manner in which I would mentor a young man. So knowing that it's an uncomfortable topic to talk about, and you're right, you don't hear it from the pulpit because it's an uncomfortable topic and it's not really appropriate for a large audience, I was looking for something to get the conversation started and couldn't find it, and eventually just went and wrote it myself. And that's how the book came about.
Okay, got that. I want to jump in right away to clarify something. It became obvious to me as I started into your book, that it is that may have been the goal in your writing, but this is very appropriate for any age man and for women as well. Please, dear listeners, stay with us, because I think we're going to cover some very important things in this. We had a little bit of a dropout, which I'll be able to fix when I do the editing on the show. But I heard as we came back from a little Skype dropout that you were saying you had spent time with young people, helping them. What's your background before all this, just so we cover a little bit of your earlier years?
So I came to a love of Christ. I was a cradle Catholic, and my parents had always done their best to raise me in the faith and to put me in Catholic education and Catholic youth groups and anything Catholic that was available. But I always say that I didn't come to a relationship with Christ and really to become a disciple of Christ until I fell in love with a girl. And for me, it wasn't a big conference or a big God moment. I just developed a crush on a girl who became a very good friend of mine. And I had largely been raised for the most part, been raised to be virtuous. And she was a partier. And she, at the age of 15, started to drink heavily and go to parties and different things. And we both went on a retreat in high school, and she realized that this was a sin in her life that she wanted to get rid of and needed to get rid of, but she didn't have any friends in her life that weren't drinkers. And so I became a support for her as she was trying to break away from that sinful lifestyle. There was a night where we were talking on the phone, and she shared with me that there was a young man at a party one time. She called it the bad night, when a young man tried to rape her because she was so drunk and she was just had her guard down, and she narrowly escaped that. And it was in that conversation I grew very angry, because I realized that this was a young man. He was trying to take advantage of a friend of mine that I cared about and use her as an object for his own gratification. And when I got off the phone, I went down to my basement, tried to lift weights and get some of my aggression and anger off. And it was then that I heard God speak to me for the first time in my life. It was a moment of grace, and I had addictions to pornography and to masturbation. And I'd like to say God in that moment said something very compassionate to me and comforting, but he didn't. He said, "Why are you angry with this man, or angry with this boy?" He says, "You are no different." And I was convicted by that. I was mortified. I was like, I would never rape a girl or to try to take advantage of a girl in this way. But, he convicted me. He says that there's no difference between you and him. You use women for as an object for your gratification all the time. What's the difference between manipulation and force? And, as I was sitting there in my basement convicted by this, I realized I had a problem, and that my intentions towards women were the exact same as this young man who tried to take advantage of my friend. And it was then that I tried to stop my impurities, and I couldn't. I think I say in the book that at first I started to try to do this for the sake of my friendship with this girl, try to become chaste, and I couldn't. And then it became a trying to do it for myself, realizing that I had a problem, and I still couldn't come free. And then I tried to do it for God, realizing that that this was a sin in my life and that I needed God in my life, and I still couldn't do it. And it wasn't until I turned to Christ and said to him, "Please help me and do this with me," and I surrendered and learned to accept grace into my life, pray and implement disciplines, that eventually I found freedom in that. And so that's kind of my background. As I moved from my conversion to Christ as in chastity, and as I moved into experiencing the freedom of this virtue, I surrendered more and more of my life to him. And eventually I went to school, studied theology, and worked for life and ministry with young people.
Well, just so we complete part of the circle that we're in now, that young lady, did she become anyone special to you?
Yeah, I started dating her my senior year of high school, and dated her all through college, and then eventually she's become my wife, and we've been married now for 10 years with three beautiful children.
Praise God. Congratulations about that. How does she feel about you sharing so very honestly about your early years, these beginning years of your relationship, if you will?
Well, I think I'm still waiting for my family to read the book, and I mean, they're very proud of me for writing a book, and I know they haven't read it yet because they haven't asked me any questions about these stories. so I'm still waiting on it, but she has been wonderfully supportive, and she knew that our story would be in the book, and encouraged me to write it, and of course wanted to proofread it as well, there's a realization to the fact that any sin in your life can when Christ returns and is resurrected from the dead, his wounds are still there. His wounds are still in his hands and his feet. And it's because it's part of his story. It's now, his wounds are now for the glory of God. They're not wounds that are destroying his life. They're actually now speak to the glory of God. And so it's the same thing with our sins. I mean, any of the great saints, if you look back at some of their stories, they have a tremendous amount of sin in their life. Some great saints, Francis and Augustine, and you could go on and on and on with all the different saints. It's now part of their story, and it speaks to the glory of God. So, you know, we are not, don't try to shy away from, this is our story as a couple, but rather speak to it and try to share with it the glory of God and his and what he's done in terms of conversion and in our lives and how it's changed our lives.
Well, as Everett Fritz has shared so openly here a bit and more so in the book, what he did in the construct of the book is to create a chapter which says that this is just not about Everett Fritz or just a few young, hormonally active teens. He puts in some statistics. I'm on page 29 of your book, Everett. I've got it in my left hand, and I don't know if you have a copy nearby, but you shared some statistics about what has happened in society, most of which is caused by, one way or another, by addictions to sin and to the failure to live out God's plan for love and marriage. Do you want to say anything about some of the things that you presented?
Sure. I mean, you can look at some of the greatest problems in our world today and see the level of divorce, which the number one cause of divorce in America is adultery. There's over 50 million abortions that have been done. All of those are a result of, deviance in the way that God made us in terms of the way that we're supposed to express our sexuality. One in four Americans has an STD. You can go on and on and on, but I think two statistics that I believe I quote in the book that are alarming and that people need to be aware of is that 74% of young men have reported either having masturbated or do masturbate. 50% of Christian men, 50% of Christian men, the men that are in the pews on Sunday, have a pornography addiction. So one in two men that you're around on Sunday have a pornography addiction. And there's a story I don't quote in the book where a friend of mine went to a Protestant youth ministry conference, but there were youth pastors, it was a big conference, youth pastors from all over the country came to this conference to learn all about the latest techniques and resources in ministry. He was checking into his hotel and talking to the clerk at the hotel front desk, and the clerk said to him, "I love it when you guys come to this conference every year." And my friend said, "Oh yeah, why is that?" He says, "Because we do the best business we ever do all year on adult movies."
Oh wow.
That means all these youth pastors, and granted this wasn't a Catholic conference, but doesn't really make a difference. All these youth pastors, people who are in charge of bringing the faith to young people, had pornography addictions. And so there's a reality to Jason Everett does the foreword on this book, and he has a quote in there. I can't take credit for it. But he says, men are getting slaughtered on the battlefield of sexual temptation. And there's a reality to a crisis of manhood in our world today. We don't necessarily just have a crisis of vocations. There's a crisis in marriage. There's a crisis in fatherhood. There's a general crisis in manhood. And I would liken it to the fact that men are getting slaughtered on the battlefield of sexual temptation. And it's something that we don't talk about. And if we can't talk about it, one, and get it out into the light, and then to actually address it, we're going to continue to see boys not becoming men, learning to live outside of themselves and at the service and love of others rather than trying to gratify themselves.
Mm. One of the statistics that caught my eye was that around 20% of married men and 15% of married women, just to reinforce the point that this show is not just about young teen boys, 20% of married right. men and 15% of married women admit to having had adulterous affairs. You know, it's just absolutely astounding to think that one in five men in the pews have been likely exposed to or have been involved in things which would break their vow of love for all of life to the partner that they're married to.
I mean, there's a reality to it. I don't want to interrupt, but I do want to interrupt. I mean, there's a reality to it. When I wrote this book, I wrote it to the 16-year-old version of myself. That's who I had in mind when I was writing this book. But there's a reality that as this book has started to get out there, I've realized that, you know, this isn't a book for just for young men. It is a, if you are age puberty to death, there is something in this book that pertains to you. And women have asked me, they said, is this a good book for me? I said, absolutely, read it, because a lot of it is addressed towards men, but the subject is universal. It gives an understanding of the problems that that men face and women face, but also the invitation at the heart of the book is really an invitation to know Christ deeper and to allow him to guide and to lead and to disciple out of this sin. And so people have asked me, they said, so this is a chastity book. I said, yeah, it is, but really it's a discipleship book. It's a book that is intended to lead you into a deeper relationship with Christ.
So one of the things as you began to get into battlefield strategies, my words, you gave us the definition of love, willing the good of others, and I am on page 58 and 59, where you talk about the language of love. Can you say a few words about the language of love?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's, I start that chapter by talking about this obsession that our culture has with trying to find great sex, which is, a hook to get you into the chapter a little bit. But if you look at all of these, I think I pointed to Cosmopolitan magazine, which yep. has all these great tips every month, thousands of tips for a better sex life. And I'm like, this magazine has been around for years, a long time, for decades, actually. And every month they're coming out with more tips. And what it points to is the fact that people are having unsatisfying sexual experiences and unsatisfying sex lives. And the reason that they're having unsatisfying, I was like, look, if you want to have great sex, we have to point to what it actually is. We have to get back to the actions of the heart of what it's supposed to communicate. And I actually use the example of Britney Spears, believe it or not, as an example to point to what the purpose and meaning of sex is. This is a young woman who was the sex icon of at least my generation, she has supposedly done everything under the sun that you can do in terms of all these tips and probably a few other things. And I point to a quote that I heard her say when somebody asked her, what makes sex really good? And she said, I think it's when you're really into the person. And this was not the most profound thing for a person to say, but what she was really trying to get at is that there's a language involved in this, in sex. It's a body language. And if you look at the way that God made it, it is to communicate love, life-giving love, and a a committed love to one another. And so it's only, and so what she's really trying to get at is that sex communicates love. And what makes it good is that it communicates love. And if you're communicating it outside of a loving relationship, it doesn't make sense. But even more so, it's not just that it's two people that love each other, but rather that's a love that should never come apart. And so it's only in, if we look at the way that God made sex to be, it's supposed to be in a life-giving, committed relationship. And so it's only in marriage that sex truly makes sense.
Mm. All right. Just watching our time together, there's an area, I'll say the last third of the book maybe, or a little more, for those struggling with sin in their lives, whether it's things you look at, things on your computer, things you watch on television, those who fall regularly into sin or those trying to recover from sin, you have created a number of steps that you recommend. It starts with prayer. And
yes.
Maybe if you could say a few words about that. I want to mention a couple of the other steps that you have also created in your book, but let's say a few words about prayer.
Sure. I think that, well, the whole back chunk of the book is all about the different battle strategies and tips, and it gives you a step-by-step guide. And a lot of it is sensible things, but I think the most important step that I teach is the first thing I introduce the reader to is prayer, but secondly, it's praying through the wounds, because Satan understands this, and marketers understand this. If you affect an emotion, or if you cause an emotion, you can affect the behavior. And so, a lot of times, the reason why men and women can't get out of this sin is because there's some sort of emotional wound that is attached to it. And so if you look in the scriptures, any time that a person is healed by Christ, they identify the wound first and they ask him to heal it. I'm blind. I need to see. My son is sick. He needs to be well. It seems sensible, but at the same time, when it's something of sexual temptation that you're continually falling to, a lot of times it's not that you're saying, I have a pornography addiction. Well, sometimes there's something attached to it, like I feel inadequate. And every time I feel inadequate, I run to this, to the computer to find, or I feel like I will never be loved. And then that impurity, that's when you fall, is when you start to have depression towards that. And so in order to find freedom, we have to identify the wound, and then in prayer, take this wound to Christ for healing. Mm-hmm. And it is then when that wound starts to be healed by the Holy Spirit and through grace and through the prayer and healing, then it makes sense that a lot of the other measures that I recommend, like putting it in a filter or having accountability partners, going to the sacraments, etc., that's really when it takes effect and you start to experience the freedom in your life.
Yeah, one of the things that I thought about is in the area of identifying the wound. You know, sometimes a marriage will start off with a lot of sexual excitement and fun and maybe experimentation and whatever. But as that wanes, as it does for most all married couples after a period of time and changes, one of the partners may feel like it isn't the way that it used to be. I'm not as fired up as I used to be. And that can become a wound that needs to be identified because maybe the emphasis in the early days was not so much on, surrender and complete gift of self to the other person, and has fallen into an expectation of living the old days. I'm not sure if I'm saying that very correctly, but...
Sure. I mean, I could go for a whole another hour on this subject of just, the reality is we carry our wounds into our marriage, and those wounds will eventually come out. And the beautiful thing about a vocation in marriage, or a vocation in priesthood, is that it's sanctifying. And Christ is a healer. He wants to heal our wounds. Your wounds are going to come out in your vocation. And so you can either let those wounds destroy your marriage, or it can be healed with each other. And so that's why identifying wounds that you walk into marriage with, that you walk into sex life with, that you walk into whatever the case may be, we have to learn how to, one, first pray and encounter Christ, and then, two, put them in front of Christ and say, please heal these.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't, eventually what happens is they start to eat away at us, and different sins you become attached to as a means of coping. And it doesn't work. Eventually it just leaves, it just makes the hole deeper and deeper.
Sure. Well, listen, a couple other steps that you have written about. One caught my attention because for some guys, I think it's going to sound a little too touchy-feely. It's journaling. But could you say a few?
No man likes to journal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went to my spiritual director and he told me I needed to journal, and I said, I'm not gonna, like, I can't journal. And he says, chart your progress. He says, anything you got to do, just write down some notes. But there is a reality to, in order to identify wounds, you have to have a certain level of self-reflection. And men don't like to write down their thoughts and their different things. And I'm not recommending that men do dear diaries. Dear diary, today I did, you know, X, Y, and Z. I mean, that's not what I'm recommending. What I'm recommending is that as things come to you, as feelings and emotions come to you, that you write them down, because you'll start to see a pattern. And in those patterns, you'll start to see, you start to be able to identify where your wounds are in your life and how you can present them to Christ, and you'll start to see your progress as well, and it will encourage you. I mean, journaling is an absolutely necessary part, I believe, of good formation in the faith and good prayer life, but it's not something that's comfortable to do for men.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that's not comfortable for many of us, even the topic of fasting sort of makes us pull back a little bit, but you have that as one of the strategies in your book. Say some words about that, please.
Sure. Well, Lent is coming, so it's a perfect time to do fasting. I mean, there's a reality to, once you start to, the book addresses the head, and then it addresses the heart, and then it addresses the will. So the will, you want to learn to strengthen your will. I mean, there's a measure of self-control that's in this. And as long as you're being pulled emotionally back into your wound, it doesn't matter what kind of self-discipline practices you put in. It's not just a self-control problem. But eventually, we got to get to strengthening the will. And fasting is a great way to learn self-control. And it's not necessarily even saying that you have to go on a bread and water fast for, you know, 3 weeks or whatever the case may be. It can be as simple as saying, I eat a brownie at work every day. If you are, God bless you. I want your life. It's learning to say no to that brownie, even though you have a temptation to go eat that brownie. You know, it's learning to say no to that extra cup of coffee. It's learning to, all of these intentional decisions to say no to a temptation strengthen the will, so that when a temptation comes along, you have the strength to be able to say no to it. The bigger temptations come along, you know. If you can't say no to a brownie, chances are you can't say no to sex.
There you go. Well, the book is Freedom, Battle Strategies for Conquering Temptation. This is, in my estimation, my humble estimation, a book to leave in every teenager's room. It is a book for moms and dads to read. It's a book for men who just face all of the temptations that we face, and who are perhaps struggling with some of the sins that those temptations bring about. When I was in deacon formation for 4 years back in the Archdiocese of Denver, where you are, one of our professors was, at that time, Father Samuel Aquila, now the Archbishop of Denver, and he has written an endorsement for your book, and he talks about your help in unlocking the chains of sexual impurity that so many men find themselves bound up with in these days. It's a great book, and it's a book that I just highly recommend. It's published by our good friends at Ignatius Press. And any closing words that you want to share with our listeners, Everett?
I would recommend this book for just about anybody. This is a message that I think is really important, and I'm trying to get out there. And like you said, it's been heavily endorsed, and I'm proud of it. And you can find it at IgnatiusPress.com. You can find it in your local Catholic bookstores. And if it's not in your local Catholic bookstores, please ask them to order it.
Amen. Amen. Everett Fritz, thanks for coming on Catholic Vitamins. We hope to stay in touch, and we'll keep you in our prayers.
Thank you, Father. Or thank you, Deacon.
I still have in my left hand Freedom, Battle Strategies for Conquering Temptation by Everett Fritz. It has a foreword by a noted purity and chastity speaker, Jason Everett. Do you remember the name Samuel Aquila?
I sure do.
Sure. I talked with Everett about the Most Reverend Samuel Aquila, who's now Archbishop of Denver. He used to be one of our professors for sacramental theology when we were in deacon formation, right. You said in his classes.
He went on to be Bishop of Fargo.
Yeah, he did. Yeah,
North
he did.
North Dakota, in between then and his post he has now.
We thank Everett so much for coming on the show once again. Kind of a tough area to talk about, but very, very important. And if you talk to priests, they will tell you that men and women, probably a far greater percentage of men, but men and women are really struggling with the temptations of the flesh and the eyes and the inclination. So I was glad that we could reach Everett Fritz and that he agreed to come on Catholic Vitamins.
I have another piece of feedback here from Mary Ellen Brandt in Ohio. Good morning from Cleveland, Ohio. I just want to take a moment to thank you for my P.O. prayer book. That was another prize.
St. Pio, yes.
Another prize from our 300th episode. A friend of mine is a member of the Padre Pio group, and she is in Rome, and their banner was shown on EWTN the other day. Aside from what I also need to apologize for not writing to you sooner, I also need to apologize for not writing you sooner. My book never seems to be near me when I'm on the computer, and I remember when the computer is not handy. I so enjoy your podcasts. They are on my iPod, and I have listened to some of them multiple times. Oh, she's a glutton for punishment, isn't she?
Oh, she's wonderful, wonderful.
And then she added, you surprised me when you mentioned you get snow.
Yeah, well, a lot of people think, as I've jokingly said, that Arizona is next to Hades, and down in the valley, it is at times a feeling that way, but up here at 5,000 feet and an hour and a half north of Phoenix, we do get four seasons, as we've talked about. Dee, we're not quite ready to close this show yet. We haven't done our Married for Life segment, and we've been using a book which we have had as a gift, and we're using that as sort of the framework for our Married for Life series, but we ran across a column that you and I both read. It's called Coffee After Breakfast. Now, young families are on the go, and the idea of lingering over coffee after breakfast probably won't compute, but there may be a Saturday or a Sunday or sometimes when you're able to do it, so I'd like to read a bit of this. It wasn't something that we made a decision to do. We just kind of fell into it naturally, because we enjoyed each other's company to match so much, and it eventually became a habit, but it made such a difference in our marriage. After breakfast, it was our custom to go into the living room together and sit with our coffee. A simple thing, but it was so much more than that. It was an inner attitude more than anything, a prayer, a stillness, a recollection, a focus, a listening, and a sharing about what God was doing in our lives at that particular time. There was such a constancy in it, but such an ebb and flow as we traversed the highs and lows that marked all of the time that we have been on the journey. We reflected on the day before and anticipated what this day might hold, or the days ahead. Of course, the topic often revolved around our 8 children and how each was doing physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. We talked about our hopes and dreams for the future and what God was teaching us at that time. So there's more in the column, but it reminded me of the times that we've sat and just enjoyed each other's company. Sometimes we get caught up in both of us looking at our little screens, our iPhones or our pads, and unwittingly, I think we sort of cool our relationship by being separate. But the times that we do spend together when we sit and talk, we're out running a couple errands and we stop someplace to have a quick bite to eat. And it was nice to sit and share a few concerns or things that have happened in my life and sort of look for your reaction. And so I'm grateful, Dee, when we're able to do that, and I hope they're meaningful for you as well.
They are. They are. And I'm glad we stumbled on this article. It was a nice break away from that little book that we've been using, but, I mean, both of us read that and thought, you know, we need to talk about this one.
Yeah.
And this was in a Madonna House newsletter we got back in September last year.
Madonna House puts out a quarterly publication called Restoration. Mm-hmm. And we've been getting this for years and years, and every issue is devoted to a different topic, and this one was devoted to marriage. All right, Dee, we pray, and so far we have been blessed that we've been married for life, a long time, and that our listeners are similarly blessed. And if you're not married and hearing this, may you be blessed with good, meaningful friends, not superficial ones, not ones where you talk about non-essentials, but good and caring friends, loving friends. Dee, do we have any other feedback we can do at this time?
We had something here from Risa, but since we didn't podcast over the weekend, this is not quite pertinent now, but it's still something I want to mention because it's important. She was part of a group that did a forum, this was in their diocese, I assume. It was a human trafficking forum. She said their prayer and outreach group to combat human trafficking hosted that last Saturday, which if we would have been podcasting that day, we could have been praying for them that day. It says close to 90 people are registered already, from one concerned mom sharing with me a year ago to a coalition started with our DCCW in June, to this diocesan event Saturday. You never know how God will use you once you say yes. Mm-hmm. Thanks for the prayers. So it just sounds like something very serious, but very worthwhile for them to do.
Thank you, Risa, for sharing that news with us. And sorry, we weren't more timely in participating and sharing it.
Also, I want to mention in February 20th, I'm going to be going down to Phoenix for the 6th or 7th annual women's conference down there. I've gone every year since they started them. But that same day is the CatholicConferenceForMoms.com, which is an online conference. And I just wanted to remind people about that. If there's somebody out there who would like to check into that, go to CatholicConference4, that's the number 4, CatholicConferenceForMoms.com, and you can find out all about it.
All right. Well, Dee, who's going to be at the, who's a speaker at the Catholic Women's Conference?
Oh, don't ask me that right now.
Carrie.
After we come back from break, I'll tell you.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, well, Carrie Donaldson's one of them, but there is another one.
All right, we'll get it.
Former EWTN person.
We'll get it. We'll be back.
This is journalist Mariana Bartholomew with the Missionary Moment. I was just awakening when my phone dinged the other day. I had received some photos from one of my missionary friends in India, Father Varghese. He and most of the other priests from East Godavari Deanery in the Diocese of Vishakhapatnam had gathered at Father Mariatis's mission, Christ the King. They were blessing new stations of the cross that this young, energetic priest had installed at his compound. Contained within little separate roofed enclosures, Each station was molded, painted vibrant colors, and decked with the vivid chrysanthemum garlands that brighten festive occasions in India. Triangular flags were strung everywhere on twine, and a blue floral umbrella, fringed with silver danglies, added Indian panache. The scene was beautiful, and the rice fields flanking the mission were lush and inviting. It's February in Chicago. Besides my other occupations, I'm a crossing guard. There have been days. I typically wear 2 to 3 layers of clothing, a coat down to my shins, heavy insulated boots, and on the coldest days, a black mask a la Darth Vader, so my bleary 6 a.m. eyes took in the sunshine, the brilliant colors, and my spirit expanded and basked in the warmth of the scenes. I wrote Father Varghese that the mission was lovely. But as missionaries used to say when I would visit in scenically lovely but cash-strapped areas in Montana or Tennessee, you can't eat the scenery. Later, after my shower and first cup of coffee, I re-examined the photos. I saw how one young man was scarecrow thin, although dressed with care, topping a pair of rather scrappy khakis with a purple Oxford-style shirt. A ditch near the rice fields was filled with brackish water, and when I showed my banker, Megan, over some confusion with ATM cards, she exclaimed, "Something died in that water, right? Look, something's dead in there." The structures in the photo stood out in artistic relief, whitewashed against tropical green. But on closer inspection, the buildings needed serious repainting and repairs. How often do we go through life with that shallow first glance where everything looks rosy? Lent calls us to dig a little deeper. A stark reminder of this need for a careful look occurred last week when the beautiful young 17-year-old daughter within my husband and my circle of acquaintances took her life in a drug overdose. She looked like a popular girl. People spoke of how she was funny and well-loved. A friend of hers simultaneously took her life in a nearby forest in an apparent hanging suicide. What happened? What growing sense of desperation led them to this final act? Our nation offers fantastic opportunity, but Blessed Mother Teresa spoke also of its spiritual poverty and isolationism. Thank God for our faith, a great reservoir of hope, love, and life. My friends and I often speak of the strong young people we know who are living and defending their faith, swimming against a murky tidal stream of mainstream values. With every action comes a counter-reaction, and as cultural depravity seems to deepen, some are latching hold to solid values, carrying on a bright banner into their own futures and paving the way for their children. But even those of great faith struggle with depression and anxiety. How can we throw them a lifeline? Doing so, according to God's inspirations, is an essential aspect of living our faith. Paradoxically, some of the brightest signs of our times are in mission territories. In those photos from India, the bright flags and flowers, the festive atmosphere, is not shallow show, but an innocent and lively expression of an often newfound and also maturing faith. I enjoy Skyping with Father Varghese, and when I Skyped with his friend Father Mariatis some time ago, his face beamed with appreciation as he described mission work. Yes, his diet consisted largely of lentils and rice, but he loved village work. He loved the simple depth of people's faith. Father Varghese now resides in a more sophisticated city mission and is pouring his love and energy into a more citified population, but he also is nearly daily on the move, it seems, joining with outlying pastors in their village efforts, and he himself has a village mission attached to his church. He says the Holy Spirit is powerfully moving in our mission territories, especially in Asia and Africa. Knowing about conditions of the church and culture in other parts of the world is eye-opening. Great for giving us perspective. So as we move through Lent, perhaps we can first take a deeper look than usual at the needs of those closest to us and offer kindness and uplift. Materially speaking, many of our neighbors in the U.S. struggle. A total of 21% of American children under the age of 18 live in poverty. There is so much we can do to alleviate that. Then we can look beyond our shores to our brothers and sisters across the world. 6 million children under the age of 5 die every year from hunger. Again, there is much we can do to help, as the Holy Spirit directs us. Pope Francis's full message for Lent 2016 is powerful and easily found online. In it, he urges us to practice the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. For in the poor, he writes, the flesh of Christ becomes visible in the flesh of the tortured, the crushed, the scourged, the malnourished, and the exiled, to be acknowledged, touched, and cared for by us. May this Lent propel us to be better vehicles of mercy in this year of mercy.
Dear Mariana, thank you for being a faithful participant on Catholic Vitamins whenever you can, and that's more than 3 years that she's been doing missionary moments for us. What a gift she has been. Mariana has been involved in helping a missionary priest in India. You've heard about this. Mariana sent us a communique which said, I'm looking for sponsors for 9 children that we've helped save from child labor situations. Isn't that terrible?
It's awful.
6 we have already supported over the past 3 years. They're thriving in school. Tuition averages $250 per year, but any gift would be appreciated. Also, we're collecting for upcoming Easter expenses for our missionaries, and people can write checks out to our Holy Family Relief 501c3 organization. That means it's tax exempt. And mail the check or donation to Holy Family Relief, Post Office Box 182, Elmhurst, Illinois 60126. Once again, Family Relief 501c3.
Holy Family Relief.
Holy Family Relief, thank you. Post Office Box 182, Elmhurst, Illinois 60126. Thank you and God bless. From Mariana. Dear, I think we're about ready for a wrap-up.
We are. Okay, I went and looked. The two main speakers for the Phoenix Women's Conference on February 20th is Colleen Carol Campbell. She used to have a regular show on EWTN. And Carrie Donaldson.
Our dear. Carrie, who was a guest on Catholic Vitamins a couple, 3 years mm-hmm. ago, told her conversion story, and it was a great joy to have her on the show. All right. Anything else to do?
We need to do Vita Scrabble for next time. But I also want to throw in a plug, because we haven't done this in a long time, to please go to iTunes and look up Catholic Vitamins on iTunes and leave us a review, please. We haven't had a review in a long time, and it really would help us, bump us up a little bit in notoriety there. I just was listening to another podcast, one of the regular ones I listen to, and they were saying on their podcast that they just had a whole bunch of new reviews on iTunes. I was jealous.
Oh, wow.
Come on, you know, folks.
Their mom and dad and their brother and sister.
Come on, give us some reviews, please.
All right.
All right, Vita Scrabble for next time. Catholic Vitamin U ends in D. D is in David. Or D.
If you think you know what that vitamin is that starts with U and ends in D.
D. 6 letters.
So, you sure about that?
Yes.
I saw you counting on your fingers.
6 letters.
Send your guest to catholicvitamins@gmail.com and we might send you nothing or something nice. Who knows? Blessings, everyone.
Bye.
From A to Z, Catholic Vitamins. Don't enter the race without them. See you next time.
This is Deacon Tom. Blessings.